You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Everyone, a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Wednesday's edition of the podcast, looking ahead to a couple of races on the card at Kempton on this edition. We've also got jumps action at Chepstow and Hexham, and also Warwick on the programme on Wednesday. Hope you can join us for all of the action on William Hill's Racing Radio. Sam Norris here, joined by Tom Morley on today's edition of the podcast. Tom, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Sam.
Good stuff. A low-key start to the week yesterday, but you were in reasonably good form, Tom.
I was in good form on the all-weather anyway, from the nap, that needless to say, did not perform quite as I'd have liked. But other than that, you know, there were some nice winners there, fortunately.
You rather knew that was coming as well after the start to the day that you made. It was...
Well, quite often when you're... Because obviously we have to put it in, don't we, by mid-morning.
Yes.
And I'm going through there and there's two or three that might stand out, and then it's a bit of pot luck sometimes which one you pick.
Yeah.
And, yeah, Sod's Law does suggest that quite often it's the wrong one.
Yes. Fantastic weekend of racing coming up. We're really getting into the swing of things now regarding the national hunt season. But again, it seems to be that time of year where we're almost trying to second-guess trainers, and anti-post markets are saying one thing, connections are saying another thing. Got the big race coming up this weekend, of course, the Betfair Chase, where we're hoping to see the reappearance of Gold Cup hero Sizing John as he bids for the Triple Crown bonus, of course, £1 million bonus for the winner of the Betfair Chase, the King George, and the Gold Cup at Cheltenham. But this time of year, as mentioned, we do seem to see the anti-post markets going in a different direction to what connections are saying. Is it something you take much note of?
I do think the anti-post markets are quite shrewd generally.
Yes.
And it does seem that various things seep out one way or another, and people have a clue. And you have to think that it's very tricky for connections, because if they came out and said something more definitive early and then changed their mind,
yes,
for no other reason, I mean, everyone, some of the public would like to jump down the throats and say it was all a plan to,
yes,
change the mind. But, you know, generally, I'm sure the vast majority of cases are there's just a genuine reason for a change of the mind. But then they do get castigated for that. Mm. So, you know, I think connections are in a tough position, and trainers probably more specifically than the majority of the owners, because,
yes,
there's not that many owners necessarily who actually you hear piping up.
Yeah.
And they're pressured each day by members of the press, no doubt, to put out a statement, and I expect they're obliged to sort of say something, because if they don't, then that no doubt creates some sort of atmosphere or some sort of headline in itself. Mm. And if they do say something, then I'm sure certain things can get lost in the translation a bit, or exaggerated,
yeah,
in the translation. So it is very tricky. And you've got Sizing John here, who there are a number of combinations that you could look at. You've got the money factor.
Yep.
Which, you know,
they seem to say that they're not bothered about these bonuses.
How can you not be bothered?
It must enter the mind if you think you've got a horse capable of winning all three of these races.
Well, if there was no bonus, would the horse run? I would lean to the fact that they possibly would delay it.
Yes.
Because there's clearly reasons, be it the weather and so on, as to why it might not run. But then you've got that carrot.
Yeah, exactly.
And you look at the race and you see, you know, there's only, what is it, seven entries at this stage.
Yep.
I think, you know, you'd be looking at it if you own Sizing John and were going, right, Bristol to May. Okay, there's one horse. You should never be frightened of one horse. You've,
yep,
got Q Card, who obviously has a certain question mark now. And then you're into double figure prices already. So, of course, the money is... well, they're, I'm not going to say they're better people than me if it isn't of any interest, yes. But I think they're unusual people if it's of no interest.
To be fair, I'm not putting words in the mouth. I haven't come out and said that it isn't about the money, but it's rare that you see connections come out and say, yeah, we're going for that bonus. They'd more often come out and say, you know, oh, this is a nice race to start his.
And let's be honest, the bonuses wouldn't be put up if no one was going to go for them.
True, yeah.
There's got to be some reason for them to be put up. So it's very hard to see. I'm obviously citing John's Drifted Like Mad, Bristol Domains Shortened, which is natural movements.
Yep.
If one's going to go one way, the other surely should be going the other way. But I would be very wary of getting involved with citing John at this time, and if Sizing John then does turn up, obviously Bristol Domain no doubt probably will drift a little bit unless it's bottomless conditions. It's also Haydock, which we know is quite bottomless when it's bottomless. So yeah, it does cause question marks, and it's an unfortunate thing, but we live in a country where weather is, for a start, very changeable, and the weather forecasting is somewhat hit and miss. Not blaming the weathermen for that.
Yep.
That's just the life. And it's just something we're going to face. And with jumping so geared up towards that 1 week.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? People work back from that week rather than.
And why is it that important? I'm talking as a non-jumps person here, but why is it all about that week? There's plenty of other great races throughout the season, yet they almost seem to be very unimportant in comparison. I don't get it, but maybe if I had jumps horses, I would.
Yeah. Perhaps. Bristol Domain, the 11-8 favourite for the Betfair Chase coming this weekend. Sizing John is 11-4, Q Card 3-1, 9-1 for Outlander, and double figure prices for the rest of them. The action coming up at Haydock this weekend.
I guess if you look at the Racing Post and stuff and you see what has been said about Sizing John, if you were interested in it and it ends up being declared, well, there's been lots of positive reports anyway, so
yeah,
that's something you can take out for it, but you might want to delay what you're doing for a bit.
I mean, it's a three race course gallop so far, so you'd
they're
expect
they're
the horse to be
preparing to run.
Yes, indeed. And we've had Duvan drifting for the Tingle Creek as well, which is obviously one of the premium 2 mile chase in this early stage of the season. But again, Tom, it comes back to the fact that This isn't the end game for Duvan, and there are other races that could be taken in preparation for presumably another tilt at the Champion Chase in March. And
that's right. And obviously here, it's been taken largely due to things that Willie Mullins might have implied, and or of course the owner's been on TV as well.
Yes,
and the fact that the pair of them have so many horses that could feature in the same races that clearly. It's been pushed out just on light, really on the back of what they're saying. And once again, as you say, there is an ultimate goal.
Yeah.
And if they don't think that race necessarily is the be-all and end-all to achieving that ultimate goal, then one of his battalion, you know, he's got a huge number of choices of horses generally in most races.
It's a pretty decorated substitute bench, isn't it?
It is. And therefore, they can easily call on one of those and very possibly take the prize home with one of the others.
Yeah.
And I guess if you look at it, it's one thing with a trainer having a number of different horses, but if an owner has then does it actually matter which horse is winning the races? Mm. It's all going into the same bank balance.
Yeah, of course.
So I think that it complicates it even more in the case of that yard and obviously the principal owner, really, from that yard.
Okay. From National Hunt Racing on to the all-weather action on Wednesday, then we've got a couple of races to look at on the evening card at Kempton, and a couple of novice stakes as well, beginning with the 5.10. This is Division 1 of a 7-furlong novice stakes, where at time recording 14 go to post. This won't be top of everyone's list to choose, Tom. We've got a lot of newcomers in the main here, but of those who've had runs, a few of them have shown a little bit of promise so far.
That's right. I mean, to be honest, when I was looking at the Kempton cards, the handicaps look quite a minefield. A number of horses there were coming back after absences, and we're at that strange time of the year with the strict all-weather horses are just returning, and you just don't know what they've been up to or how they are. So it's tricky. But so novice races wouldn't normally be where I'd be heading, and I've picked two of them.
Mm.
And the first one is the 5.10. And the selection here, despite the poor draw, is number 10, Salute the Soldier. Has obviously been relying, I guess, I'm going to rely certainly on Adam Kirby managing to get a position from the wide draw, but we know how proficient he is on the all-weather, and if you've got a jockey on the all-weather, he's probably the man you'd be choose to have on side. This colt ran at Newbury on his debut at the end of October. Quite an interesting maiden that day. Winner Picture No Sound was a non-runner on Monday at Wolverhampton, but showed improved form to win the race. Clearly enjoyed the soft ground. He's now rated 84 after that. The second horse, George of Hearts, a very expensive breeze-up horse who has shown ability now in both starts. Fourth horse hasn't run. The fifth horse, Drake Fell, won last week. So this horse came third, was well back that day. Interesting thought. Clearly Connections felt he had ability in a race where there were other horses that certainly had ability too. And he ran well for a long way, really only weakening in the last 100 yards. Normal progression going into his second run should see this horse in good stead. And to me, looks clearly the one to beat in this race. And just looking down the others, I mean, Brigham Young run the once. Is a Derby entry, stayed on strongly at Lingfield to come fifth. Clearly be one of the main rivals to my selection. Cativo Ragazzo, seventh fault. None of the others have really raced at a particularly high level. Daltrey has run the once at Newmarket earlier this month. Really well back that day, but failed to shine at all, even allowing for racing in, I think it was a smaller group of four horses. Bound to improve for that run, but I think it will be hard-pressed to challenge the selection. Dr. Knox has run once, finishing mid-div at Nottingham, needs to improve. Flavius Titus has run twice, short price on debut at Nottingham back in June, flopped totally. Did run a lot better last month at Doncaster, but was ultimately well beaten. Icann is a 35 grand yearling, probably, I think, struggling in this grade. More Harry, 11th foal, related to several winners, but none particularly great. Mushtaq, that's possibly an interesting debutant, bearing in mind it cost 210,000 as a yearling. But third foal, the other two haven't really shown anything, from my eyesight anyway. Purple Jazz has run once at Lingfield earlier this month, showed nothing. 3 weeks is a first foal who would need to be pretty decent to challenge, I think, on this. Classic Charm exceeded expectations on debut when third at 66-1 at Newmarket. She may well improve for that run and does get a bit of weight from my selection, but I still think Salute the Soldier should have that one's measure. My Heart, related to a couple of decent horses, but also plenty of very average ones, and Sheila Rose looks up against it on paper. Mm. So out of the ones that have run, I think Salute the Soldier's form is the best, and I'm not over-enamoured with any that haven't run.
Okay.
So, all in all, I'm going for Salute the Soldier in that race.
Salute the Soldier, then, for Clive Cox, and Adam Kirby gets the vote in the 5-10. An hour later, we go to the 6-10. This is another novice stakes over a mile this time, and we've got a field of 14 to sort out once more. We'd have a few winners in this lineup as well, or two of them anyway.
Yeah, and one of them is going to be my selection, the top horse, Blue Mist. This horse was already gelded before seeing the racetrack. Fourth foal, half-brother to Countermeasure, who's a group-placed horse. Half-sister, Obedient, is a listed-placed horse. So we've got some class amongst the siblings there. Came to this track, middle of last month, over a mile, won comfortably. Despite still being green, third horse had an official rating of 77. Blue Mist was well-backed, looked like he could be a really useful individual, as one would have anticipated that he'd have come on for that debut, as he was still blatantly inexperienced, yet it was still very impressive. At the end of October, he was seen again at Newbury, made favourite to win a 16-runner novice event there. He carried a penalty, as he does here. Ultimately, he found one too good, Military Law, travelled well for a long way, hung left when challenging. But I think we can put that down to Newbury was soft that day. So I think, although he's got a penalty to carry here, going back to the all-weather, where he was really impressive, I think will be right up this horse's street, and I'd be pretty keen on him to go back. Well, I think the second run actually was a good run. I think time will tell. The winner that day will probably be fairly decent. So I'm not saying he took a backward step. It was merely that he was favourite. He's got stall on the outside, which isn't particularly handy, but I think there's going to be plenty of these that are dead wood in the race. Indiscretion, another winner, came last on debut, but then caused a huge shock last month when winning at 100-1. Can't be knocked for that victory, but it was a messy race, and I think she'll find Blue Mist a harder proposition. Billy Starr was brought back as a yearling and as a first foal. Bodes Well ran a nice debut at Salisbury last month when already gelded, but the form of that race hasn't worked out. Definitely needs to improve to challenge the selection. Icart Point was well beaten on debut before running a lot better at this track at the start of the month, and he was well back that day, probably a bit too keen as well. So I think Icart Point is definitely one that could challenge for the places. Is It Off, a pretty well-named colt, ran well on debut but took a backward step last time, needs to bounce back. Paddy the Chef makes no appeal on paper. Tanseek could be one of the main rivals for the selection, especially as getting weight. Beaten favourite on debut at Yarmouth, then came to this track in September. Appeared to show a reasonable level of form that day, but does have a two-month absence to overcome. And again, I think the selection will be just too tough a nut to crack. Victory Chimes run a couple of respectable races, but I think handicaps are the way forward for that one. Canomar, much the same, other than it ran at Newmarket as opposed to Nottingham. But again, I think handicaps there. Enchanting Enya, cheap yearling, probably out of her depth. Pepper Street's run okay, but was behind Blue Mist last time. Can't see that changing in this race. Pilgrim Soul, on paper, looks to have a future, but I think it's a tough ask here on debut. And Savannah had a couple of runs in September, second at Goodwood last time, but was still well beaten and definitely needs to improve to challenge the selection again. So, again, I think Blue Mist is the horse with the form. Yes, carries a penalty. Yes, not drawn ideally, but with plenty of deadwood in the race as well. Hopefully that won't be a problem for Kieran Schumark and get the horse in a good position. And then Blue Mist will do the rest, hopefully.
Blue Mist it is in the 6:10 then for Tom. Thank you for that, Tom. Just remind us of your nap and your next best then at Kempton tomorrow.
So at 5:10, we have Salute the Soldier. And in the 6:10, Blue Mist.
Excellent stuff for the thoughts of Tom Morley. You can hear all of the action on William Hill's Racing Radio on Wednesday. Got that card at Kempton for you alongside the jumps action at Chepstow, Hexham and Warwick. Thanks for that, Tom, and best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.